It is guest galore time in the studio. I am joined by Carol Finney, who is a CBT psychotherapist and EMDR practitioners. Don't you start already. She's here today to talk about OCD. She's been a guest of mine in the studio before, and she's also been a guest with Bob, haven't you?
And I do.
Do you like this music?
Very much, and thank you for inviting me to do.
It does sound like you're running from the car and you sort of roll in with a gun into the studio.
Sort of secret agent.
Yeah. I do have other theme tunes, but I quite like that one. Ness, how have you been, first of all? Because I've not seen you for quite a while. Have you been really busy?
Yes, I have been busy, and things are going quite well, and I'm still enjoying work, as always.
Yep. You've always got... Carol, I always say to Carol, she's got a really good... I was saying about it off-air, actually. Well, very good. If you say... People say aura, or she's find a very calming...
Well, that's very nice. Thank you. I have it in writing.
And also, as soon as she gets here, Carol... I don't ask Carol how she is. I don't say... I talk to her straight away. It's like... She's like, comes in, I get about an hour's worth of conversation straight at you.
Well, I have to say it's 2 weeks because I enjoy seeing you and you're in good company.
Thank you very much. Now, OCD, before we talk about OCD, you are a psychotherapist, EMDR practitioner, so tell us about your training and exactly what it is.
Originally, I trained as a nurse quite a long time ago, but about 10 years ago, I did a degree in cognitive behaviour psychotherapy, and... which enables me to treat people with mental health problems. And about 2 years ago, I did the eye movement and desensitization training with them, which is for trauma, based on a woman called Shapiro, who identified that eye movements helping people with trauma, it's a bit like when we sleep and we dream. Mm. And trauma actually stays in a different place in the brain. Through EMDR, we actually can get a person to move the trauma so that they can actually manage it easier, make their life better.
Oh, right. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll talk about it another time then.
Lovely. So you can find out more. You are actually part of the EssexTherapy.co.uk.
Yes.
So you're based there. So if people do actually want to come see you, Carol deals with people with OCD, also with depression, stress. There's lots of people.
Anxiety. The main kind of major mental health problems and also kind of psychological adjustments, really.
And when people come to see you, do they talk out their problems, or do you give them suggestions of what they need to do to change the way they think? Because a lot of the times it is getting somebody out of the negative by actually getting them to do exercises to stop them going on that path. It's very easy when people are depressed or got anxiety, they can't seem to get off the path that they've got themselves on.
Yeah, well, partly what you're saying is right. I think the first thing is to have a really thorough assessment. Mm. I do some brief assessments to look at their mood and their anxiety levels.
Yeah.
And then find out what the problem is and how they see the problem, how they've managed it, which may have been helpful or unhelpful. And also look at their resilience. What do they bring, to the assessment that's going to help them? And then we come up with a plan.
Yeah.
An idea one may be, of course, is that looking at the way people think, just because we think doesn't mean to say it's true.
Yeah.
So we want to look at how people assess a difficulty, how it's affecting them. And often, especially OCD, which we'll come on to, is getting that the people who are close to them involved, because they're often greatly affected too.
So OCD, what is it, and how can you help?
Okay, well, its long name is obsessive compulsive disorder, and we're going to talk about it in adults today. It is a serious mental illness, and I know it's one that people can be quite unkind about sometimes. It affects about 2 people in 100 in the population. In fact, it's so serious that the World Health Organization have identified it as one of the top 10 most serious illnesses in the world. It's that serious. If we looked at it from two perspectives, obsessions and compulsions. The obsessions are the things that people have, their persistent thoughts or urges or images, and they just really pop into their mind. And we all have different thoughts that come into our mind, or things that we think we haven't done. And what people would experience are maybe fear of contamination, such as dirt and germs, bodily fluids, doubts about things that maybe might harm themselves or others. For example, locks, the doors, so it's a kind of secure doubt, and also excessive concerns about exactness of things being aligned, symmetry and in order.
Yeah.
And because it's a kind of anxious problem, it's about anxiety, really, and doubt, these people often develop what we call compulsions. So there's a kind of repetitive response to that obsession.
Yep.
So they might start checking things. They might be checking taps and windows, door handles, repeating acts such as washing, changing the clothing, and also having maybe mental rituals, certain words, prayers, mantras, that have to be repeated in a certain way so that people can be safe or not get injured. Often these people feel a great responsibility, and the key thing when we're assessing OCD is that people realise it's ridiculous. They know it doesn't have a magical component, these things they have to do, but they just can't stop because the risk is too great for them. So what we do, the key person here is the GP, is to go to your GP, and you'll find them very understanding. Depends if you go down the private route or NHS route. Two things that do help, which are identified by the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence, which is called NICE, and I think we'll put the website up on your show's website, are things like medication, which your GP will suggest, and some people can manage on medication, but really you need CBT is the key treatment. And often your GP will want to exclude any physical illness in case that's adding to your problem.
Yeah. I was going to say, there was a programme on, which I watched last year, about a woman with compulsive cleaning, and it was terrible. I felt very sorry for it. She knew she was doing it, and people, to actually get into a house, she used to clean. She cleaned for about 7 or 8 hours a day, and as soon as somebody walked in, they had to walk in on, I think it was on like cling film or something she put down, so they didn't. And if they touched anything, she wouldn't just have to wipe where they were, she'd have to wipe the whole of the staircase, so they put their hand on it, or anywhere she thought they touched, she had to clean it straight away. And she knew that it was an obsession, but she didn't know stop, she couldn't stop herself doing it, and it had gone from being just keeping it clean to then doing more and more and more, so it progressed. The more you do it, the more you
absolutely
can't get out of it.
And that's such a good point, is it? You think that short term it's helping, but actually the more you do it, the more you have to do it, and they won't take the risk of not doing it because they don't know what might happen. And that's why we can see that for these people, not only have they got the difficulty with actually the physical thing, but they get tired, they get more anxious, and it leads to them being depressed. And of course, if they've got people who are close to them, they're also affected, because sometimes they expect that person to help them or to maintaining part of the problem. So the carers need to be brought into the part of the assessment, or I would always want to see them as part of the treatment, so that's so important to get them involved as well.
So with the treatment, how long does it, is it depend on the client and you know, how severe they are, or is it different for everybody?
Indeed. Unfortunately, most people do not come for treatment so often they've had it for a long time, and of course that makes prognosis more difficult. Excuse me. And certainly people have got to want to change, and it's a big risk. If you believe that, you know, your behaviours are keeping your family safe, why would you stop? So you've got to be able to put something in place, and it's taking risks to gradually cut it down, not to respond to the anxiety which is keeping the problem maintained, and to decide to do implement different aspects of change into your life.
I was out to lunch quite a while ago with a friend of mine and a new friend of mine, and a very nice person he is too, and he was saying, I've got OCD, and I said, all right, and we carried on talking because, you know, I didn't want to draw attention or anything. And then all of a sudden he got up and stood up and went and stood over by the door, and then came back and sat down, and he went, I had to do that. And I said, really? I said, do you want me to go and do it as well? He went, no, I'm going to have to do it again. And he went up and did it again, and he came back down, and I just ignored it. I just said, oh well. I said, doesn't he? He said, I've got this I said, well, I'll tell you what. So I grabbed his hand, and then I started doing this on his hand. I said, what are you trying to do? And he looked at me, and I said, what are you trying to do? And I said, because you can feel me hitting your hand, can't you? And it stopped him. And he went, what are you doing? I said, because your brain, you're trying to stop from, and he didn't do it. I think he got, it was in a pub he'd never been to, and it was, the anxiety had made it worse. But that I know it's not, you know, obviously, but that tapping technique, which I know that people can use if they get stressed, if you do suffer from anxiety and you get stressed, if you can, even with onto sort of like the side of your hand, if you dig your nails in or you tap, it can sometimes break the connection of your brain whirring.
Yes, I suppose we'd also see it as a kind of distraction, which is something else that some people do use with good effect. But just come back to what you were saying about, you know, the assessments, getting the right treatment, and it can be a very long process. And then for some people, they might, in times of stress, although they may well cope very well with their OCD, at times of stress they have to be aware it may start again. But if they've learned treatments to manage it, which has not responded to the anxiety, if medication is also right, then eventually they should learn skills just to implement it when they know it's going to start again.
Now, you've got a practice at the Essex Therapy, which is all the W's, essextherapy.co.uk,
yes.
And it's 07766 906 246, and that's at the Brentwood Clinic at Shenfield Road.
Yes.
So we will put the details up, but as I said, Carol is just a lovely person to talk to, and she's always so bubbly and positive. So even if even if you go and chat to her about anything, you sort of come you draw off all of her good energy. That's what I think people do. You must have too much, Carol, because I think people will take it away from you. There's no need for people, we're in 2015, go back probably 20 or 30 years, people wouldn't have talked about stuff and suffered in silence. You don't have to
absolutely
do that
not,
now.
Yes, and apart from statutory help, there's also very good charities such as OCD in Action and Mind who can supply support and treatment. So don't suffer in silence, contact your GP and get some help.
And you've got Brentwood Mind as well. They're very closely involved with the studio here and with Bob Simpson with their monthly podcast, by the way, Carol, which I know you're going to be doing after this, as had all sorts of famous people retweeting it and all sorts.
Excellent, that's great.
They're becoming celebrities.
That's what we like to hear.
Although I don't know what they're doing in that office behind me. They keep coming in and shutting the door. I said, there's some sort of like secret passageway down there to some, I reckon there's a bar next door.
We're going after them.
Yeah. Well, it's lovely to see you.
Thank
be back
you.
In again in another month. And if you want to check Carol, it's all the W's, essextherapy.co.uk, and she'll also be on this month's podcast, which I think will be out in the next couple of days as well.
Right. And thank you for inviting me on, Michelle.
Lovely.
Thank
all right, love, pleasure to see you. 12:35, here's Travis. This is a cheerful song. Why does it always rain on me? Got to pick something in. Shall I change that? I'll put something, I'll keep that one on. What do you reckon, Carol?
I should think so.
Yeah. We'll leave it.